This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Ryssdal. So, that political thing happening in Cleveland, Ohio this week. It is a big deal, yes, and we will have people there covering the economic policy amid all the politicking. But we're also covering the economy in this election a different way as well. Our project with Frontline and PBS NewsHour is called How the Deck is Stacked, the issues behind all the stump speeches we've been hearing. Today, picking up our story from this past Friday, race, poverty, and economic mobility in Cleveland, Mississippi.
Fact is that we're not doing what we should be doing in this country to deal with this problem.
That was Bobby Kennedy near Cleveland on his 1967 tour of the Mississippi Delta, a tour that shocked Kennedy into action, and during which he met Catherine Wilson, then a teenager, today a 68-year-old woman still living deep in poverty, who says, yeah, life is better today, but she's still not satisfied.
I want to see action.
You want to see action?
Progress. Better than it was 50 years ago.
Jimmy Williams owns a local restaurant. He has lived in Cleveland all of his 70 years. We talked for a bit, and then he took me for a drive just to show me around.
So we are still divided to a certain extent.
Do you feel it? You feel it every day?
Oh, yeah.
The divide was actually physical at one point. Railroad tracks running smack through the center of town. Those tracks are gone, but the divide, not so much.
When you cross the track, it's much different than daylight and dark.
This is literally the other side of the tracks.
Yeah.
And that divide is perhaps even starker in the statistics. As we told you Friday, the unemployment rate for black residents of Cleveland, Mississippi is four times higher than for whites. Median income is half. And so we pick up today where those two sides meet.
Tell me where we are right now. What is this place?
This is downtown Cleveland, Mississippi. Cotton Grove, Sharp Street.
Linda Stringfellow works for the nonprofit group AmeriCorps Vista in Cleveland on the front lines of poverty, as she likes to say.
In the area that you are walking on, this is where the railroad track.
This divided the town, east and west, right?
Yes. In Delta Town, still today, rivers and railroad tracks divide. You go over a river or a railroad track, you'll see the difference automatically in the economy, the housing, the businesses. You'll see the difference.
Because it's African Americans on one side and whites on the other.
Pretty much. Have nots. Money. No money.
You grew up around here, right?
In the Delta, yes. Yeah. Born and raised.
Well, it's all kind of one big place, right?
Kind of. It depends on what water tank you drink from.
What did it look like around here when you were growing up?
We didn't know that we were poor. If you said we were poor, it was just like asking a fish, how does their water feel? The fish is going to say, what water? Because that's the only environment they've ever known. If you had a pair of Levi's, you had something. And if you had a pair of Converse, oh, you really had something.
Is it better today than it used to be?
No, it's about the same.
What is it about this place that makes poverty and inequality and that conversation so stuck?
Because you're going to start touching on tradition. You're going to start talking about mindset. You're going to start talking about family values that were passed down beside recipes. If you're really going to look at poverty, you have to start looking at greed. Are these structures set up from greed? Does greed stimulate poverty?
You mean I got what I have, and I'm not giving it to you?
That's right. It's your distribution of wealth. If you're not at the table, you become the meal. When we talk about change, you would love to see change, but you're trying to bring about change on old traditional structures that haven't changed. So it's just like me trying to build a mansion on top of a shaky foundation, or a foundation that was designed on greed so that you will always have poverty. Upper, lower.
And black and white.
Black and white.
Economic mobility in the Mississippi Delta isn't just lower than anywhere else in the country. It's lower than anywhere else in the developed world. Where you're born socioeconomically is where you're going to stay socioeconomically.
It was a wonderful place to grow up. As a child, I grew up in a neighborhood with lots of other kids riding their bicycles. We had a local park here. We had camps. I mean, it's really a wonderful place to grow up.
Mike Carr is a lawyer in Cleveland, one of the public defenders here in town. He grew up doing all right. Two parents at home. He's white. He lived on the west side of town.
Is it something that is a topic of conversation in this town at all? Across the races?
You talking about with blacks and whites sitting down and talking to each other about it?
Yeah. I mean, I'm never going to figure
this. A bunch of whites sitting around talking together about it.
No, I'm talking about blacks and whites sitting down and talking about race and poverty together. Because I'm never going to figure this out in a week in this town.
I understand.
Coming in from L.A.
I understand.
Right? So the question to you, as a guy who's born and bred here,
yeah,
is this a conversation you all have?
There's some people that I can have it with. Some people I can't. I think our generation, and when I say our generation, people born in the 80s and on, people who've been going to school together, if you went to public school, which I did, and you've been together for 35 years or whatnot, I've got friends, black friends, that I can be open, honest, and frank about everything with, and they're the same with me. But there's a generation before, and certainly two generations before, that will never change. That generation, I believe, is just going to have to live the rest of their lives and die out.
What do you do, though, until that happens? How do you keep young people around? How do you bet on the future?
Hi, Chiquita around, please. Hi.
Chiquita Fountain works for a group in Cleveland called Parents for Public School. She's a parent herself to a rising eighth grader named Maurice. He played Xbox back in his room while his mom and I talked about the city she has worked in for more than a decade and a place she's called home for the past 5 years.
You deal mostly with young people, I imagine, right?
Young, yes.
Okay, so the young people that you deal with, most of whom, just based on the demographics around here, are people of color, right?
Yes.
What do they tell you about their opportunities here?
Basically, that there are none. That if they stay here, they feel trapped. That if they do choose to go to school and pursue a college degree, that there's no guarantee that they will get a job once they, you know, once they graduate. So they opt to leave.
Maurice is 13 years old?
Yes.
He's going to finish high school. I have the sense that you're going to make sure he goes to college,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Okay. When he gets out of college, is it okay with you if he leaves Cleveland and says, see you later?
It's so interesting that you say that because we've actually been talking about just relocating altogether. He was selected to go to a young leaders conference in Mobile, Alabama. And while he was there, he was able to interact with a lot of young people who were his age, who have gone on to D.C. and have had a lot of opportunities presented to them young. He said to me, we were driving home from Alabama, he said, Mom, he touched me on my shoulder and he said, Mom, you know you're holding me back, right?
Oh, no.
And I looked over at him and I was driving down the highway and I almost literally lost control of the car when he said that to me. And I was like, what do you mean I'm holding you back? And he was like, there's nothing where we live. And it just made my heart sink.
Do you think we can drag him away from his Xbox for 5 minutes?
I think so.
All right, let's do that. Maurice, how are you? I'm Kai. Nice to see you.
Nice to meet you.
How
are
you doing? You get to sit on the couch, if that's right with you. So your mom was just telling me, I asked her if it's okay with her if when you get out of college, which I'm sure she's going to make sure that you go to, that you put Cleveland in your rearview mirror and never come back. I asked her if that was okay with you. And she told me that you have sort of sensed,
yes, sir,
that you need to get out of here.
Mm. Yes, sir.
Tell me about that.
Well, I want to go into chemistry when I grow up. And people have told me that I have a really brilliant mind and stuff like that, but I just felt like, from my standpoint, I didn't really see any opportunities here. Like, nobody was really doing anything.
What are you, like in eighth grade, ninth grade?
Eighth
grade, all right. So it's a little early yet, and, mm-hmm, and Lord knows there's enough pressure on kids today. But
yeah,
do you know where you want to go to school yet?
Well, I was thinking about going to Harvard.
Oh. Where do you see yourself in like 10 years?
Just anywhere besides here. Like, there's a lot of places that are way better than Cleveland. They have like the little bump sticker, keep Cleveland boring.
Yeah, I've seen it. You don't want boring.
Mm-mm. I want something that grabs my attention.
Does it kill you to hear him say that? That there's nothing here for him?
Well, I wouldn't say that it kills me, but it does. It's an aha moment because he realizes as a 13-year-old that he's not getting the access that he needs here in Cleveland. And if he realizes that as a 13-year-old, then that's like, I mean, beyond me as an adult, that, okay, if my son is saying that, then there has to be some validity to that. I really feel like that there is a system that is put in place to ensure that things remain the same, where everyone is not presented the same opportunity.
A lot of the people we spoke with in Cleveland talked about a system, the way money is funneled into certain places and not into others, the way opportunity exists for some but not for others. Sort of an unspoken conversation about power and money and race and opportunity that feels louder depending on which side of the tracks you're on. And while Cleveland and the Mississippi Delta might feel like an extreme example, the fact is that the national statistics are almost as astonishing. Unemployment in this country is twice as high for Black Americans as it is for whites. 10% of white Americans live below the poverty line, 26% of Blacks. And 7 out of 10 Black children actually wind up worse off than their parents. But maybe not Maurice Fountain. Coming up later this week, as Democrats get ready for their convention in Philadelphia, our reporting continues from Philadelphia as well, just not the one in Pennsylvania. I hope you heard the first part of our reporting from Cleveland, Mississippi. If not, it's online, marketplace.org.